Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, September 1st, 2011. Well, what did you read this summer? I've had the chance to energize my creative juices by reading a few books which focused on the intersection of arts, faith, and culture, some of which I've mentioned in past weeks. Another thought-generating and spirit-energizing book is Creative Matters, a collection of essays by members of the Creative Collective, which you can find all about by checking in at www.creativecollective.is. Well, the website describes Creative Matters as, quote, a call to arms for those of us who endeavor to create beautiful, transcendent, and transformational experiences in and around the church. It's a field guide of sorts, written by creatives for creatives, end quote. And there's a section of the book that I'm reading the free PDF download on my e-reader. The section is called The Artist Dance by Amina Brown, and it spoke to me as she listed a few hints to get past the blank canvas or blinking cursor. Brown suggests creatives, one, cultivate creative places, or recognize that creativity requires discipline, and we need to train our creative brain to know when and how to open up and be creative. Two, we need to give way to the art inside by finding solitude. We need to acclimate our soul to opening up to our creator so we can learn the rhythm of creativity. Three, we need to hone our craft. I don't think there's any discussion on that. And four, we need to stay connected with the art scene. And Brown just doesn't mean the Christian art scene. Quote, try engaging with art that is opposite to the genre you normally work in. And finally, Brown says, shine a Jesus light. Quote, how can you engage more with people who may not believe like you? Or with other artists and creative people, Brown challenges. Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Disagree? Send me your opinion via email to Robert at Selaw Ministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, and maybe we can begin a dialogue on this issue. The first time I heard Mike Janssen playing a song from his Try to Remember CD was at the same event I heard today's guest perform. Every year, Imago, an organization that supports and advocates for the artists, hosts an event featuring art and artists. The June 2010 program included a dramatic reading by actor and playwright Ince Choi, whose most recent production, Kim's Convenience, won rave review and was chosen a Best of Fringe pick at this year's Toronto Fringe Festival. Ince is on the phone with us tonight to talk about Kim's Convenience and his other projects. Good evening, Ince.
Hi. Good evening.
I guess let's start at the beginning here. How did you get into acting?
How did I get into acting? I don't know. My father's a pastor, so I guess I can maybe go back to him as a source of inspiration in terms of being on stage, in terms of storytelling. So I guess that was a big influence. And then kind of meandered through high school with really no interest in theater until my last year, where I auditioned for the school play and got in and loved it. And then from there, I kind of caught the acting bug and went to York University and I graduated from there. I guess that would be a simplistic journey.
Mm-hmm.
While I got into acting. I think the first time I was on stage actually was at a summer camp, a church camp, and they do these skits, and we'd have to break off into teams and come up with skits. And I loved coming up with skits, and I loved being funny, because that interested all the girls if you were funny on stage, and I kind of and it gave me a sense of confidence. So that's kind of, I guess, when I was first on stage.
Mm-hmm. So when did you sort of decide that this was going to be a career path that you were going to go on?
Well, there wasn't really a defining moment. After I graduated from York, went into film and TV, there was really no, I mean, did some theater too, but being Asian, I'm Korean, so in film and TV, there's not many roles for visible minorities, and really not in theater as well. The Canadian landscape is pretty void of plays or material. I mean, now it's changing, but then it was really sparse. So it was tough. It was really tough trying to make a living or get any attention. I'd say there was no real defining moment when it was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This was kind of who I am. I didn't really have any other choice. I don't got what it takes to be an engineer or a doctor. It's not like I have a lot of choices. Kind of fell into it, but at the same time, I do consider it somewhat of a calling to be an artist, to be a writer, and so I am. Well, here's one thing. A recent thing. I worked at a church as a children's pastor for a while doing acting, while pursuing writing. And at one point I was getting kind of fed up with the workload, kind of burning out at the church. So there was that moment recently, though. Maybe like 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, where I decided to, with the help of my wife, decided to, as a career, put my faith into acting and writing, and as a way of making a living, as a way of making ends meet,
mm-hmm.
paying the rent and stuff. So I left the ministry at a church to pursue this.
Well, has it been that sense of calling that sustained you through through all of this? As you're saying, there weren't many roles for people of Asian descent, and even as a writer, things can be rather challenging. What sustained you through all of that?
I don't know. I'm a coward. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not strong. So it's not as if I'm going. I kind of do where the work goes, right? If someone asks me to do something and they're going to pay me for it, then I'll do it. I mean, to a certain extent, but pretty much. It has been where the demand was, and so after once I chose to leave the ministry, I got a gig in Hyde Park, well, at Cannes Stage, doing Comedy of Errors in Hyde Park. So I did that, and then I was thinking, my wife and I were like, okay, what can I do next? And so I, put myself out there, applied to a bunch of stuff. Put a bunch of feelers out there, and I got a call to go to Stratford. So I got an audition, got in, the 2 seasons at Stratford. And while I'm at Stratford, I'm thinking about, I'm writing. I'm always writing. Since I don't know when, I've always been writing. Whether it's songs, poems, plays, you know, I have like 15, 20 ideas that are, you know, half written or quarter written or fully written or, you know, at different stages of development that I'm still working on. And so while I'm acting, while I'm hustling for the next gig, I'm writing on my spare time because that's what I want to do. That's what I love to do. But it's not gonna pay the bills. So I'm at Stratford writing. Even then, I was writing King's Convenience on that when I could. And then the next gig comes along, Soul Pepper in Toronto. So I go, yeah, let's do that. That opens a lot of doors. And then, you know, leading right into the Kim's Convenience thing, so that Soul Pepper where I developed Kim's Convenience even more because I'm in Toronto and I have actors, my friends, who could play the roles. So I contact them once in a while and we do workshops or readings. And then once my gig at Soul Pepper, once the contract was up, then I decided to pursue, you know, enter Kim's Convenience in the Toronto Fringe Festival. They had a new play contest. And if it wins, then it gets free in at the festival. So that saves me like $800.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. So I entered it into the contest. And you know, I didn't think it was a great play. I thought it was fun. It was, you know, it was a good play. It would do okay. But it won. And I was a complete surprise, but it was great. But then, you know, I was faced with the realization that I'd have to actually put it up. And it's, you know, it's no longer in the realm of dream or potential or all that. Now I got to actually do it. And so, make a long story short, we fundraised, got some money, got the team together, and we put on the show, and it was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that in a few minutes, and I guess as I'm listening to you and listening to some of the things you've done, you know, work at Stratford, work at Soul Pepper, you've come across and come in contact with some of the key players in the Canadian drama field. Who has had an influence on you in your acting career or even in your writing?
Acting, you know, like Canada has such a wealth of talent, of talented actors. When I was at Stratford, I was blown away by being in the room, and that's the great thing about being an actor at Stratford. You get to be in the room with really great actors, both at Stratford and Soul Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to be in the room with and watch great actors struggle through a scene. Like, you don't get to see that anywhere else. You get to see the likes of Tom McManus or Sean McKenna or you know, Ben Carlson, you know, or Juan Kiorin, or the list goes on. But you get to see Brian Dennehy, you know, Martha Henry. Well, Brian's not Canadian, but you get to see them work, and you get to see great, you get to work with great directors, and you get to see the process of how these, you know, very celebrated actors struggle through a role or a scene the way you would. I mean, I didn't have great big roles, but I got to contribute, and I got to observe these great actors. Soul Pepper, same deal. You know, you get to really know people like Joe Ziegler, Nancy Plock, Albert Schultz,
mm-hmm.
Diego Matamoros. You know, and they have influenced me hugely. Like, just watching them and seeing that there's no real way, you know, there's not the way in terms of an approach to acting. or if you do this and this, then it's going to be great. Everybody has their own way, and the more great actors I meet and talk to and learn from, the more I realize, yeah, everyone's human, and everyone's finding their way how to make this performance, their performance, or their method come alive on stage. So those are a few names in terms of acting. Writing, I haven't really met a lot of playwrights. I mean, I'm influenced by Shakespeare, by Pinter, by, Lewis Thompson, by great playwrights in the past, Arthur Miller. And I've had unique opportunities of getting to know these playwrights by being an actor. So it's not like, I think some other playwrights, they read a lot of plays, and that's how they get to know the playwrights or get to know a certain style or genre. But for me, it's by being in the play, I get to feel the world that they've created.
What I need to do is I need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with actor and playwright Ince Choi. I'm your host, Robert White. You're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to Come Thou Fount from Trevor Dick's CD Yahweh. Trevor was also featured at the Imago event with Mike Jansen and today's guest, Ince Choi. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Ince. You gave us a bit of an idea of how Kim's Convenience developed. Where did the whole idea behind Kim's Convenience come from?
There's a company in Toronto called FoodGen, which stands for Future Generation. It's the Asian Canadian theater company. It's a young theater company that began in something like 2002. And one of their mandates was to raise up or support, nurture new Asian playwrights. So what they would do is they make a call out for people who would like to participate in a playwriting unit. Now, there's not many celebrated Asian playwrights in Canada. So it would just kind of be to actors or hobbyists in terms of writing, everyone kind of in an amateur status. And we met. And we met once a month for about a year, and everyone's just kind of like writing their own thing, and we get together and we share it. And they call it the kitchen. So that's where actually Kim's Convenience began. I was part of this. I was part of one of the kitchens, and I developed Kim's Convenience. Wrote a couple plays through that, and so that was that's where it started.
Mm-hmm. And what's it about? Give us a quick synopsis of the plot behind Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, Kim's Convenience is it's loosely based on a prodigal son story, but it deals with this Korean family in Regent Park, and the father, and so it deals with them and the future of their store, their convenience store, amidst their complicated, painful family history. So, plot line. The father gets the opportunity to sell his store, but what he really wants to do is pass it on. He wants to leave a legacy. He wants to pass it on to either his daughter or his son. He's estranged from his son. Their relationship's not so good. So he tries to pursue his daughter to take over the store. She doesn't want to take over the store. So he, by the end, he's going to sell it, and then his son returns. the son returns after running away from home when he was 16, comes back, and then they have this conversation. And through the conversation, the story is passed on to his son. So that's very quick. But the play began as a series of scenes, very funny scenes, you know, from my history, from my experience working in a convenience store, from my experience growing up in a Korean church filled with convenience store owners, and hearing their accent and hearing their stories. So that's kind of also where it began in my experience growing up.
Well, and going from being, you know, the winner of The Fringe's Best New Play to being Best of the Fringe pick and sold-out performances, what was going through your mind as a playwright as you're hearing all these? I mean, I was reading reviews on it as well during the time, and it was seen to be one of the critics' favorite plays. What was going through your mind as you started hearing all these accolades?
I couldn't believe it. I was still in shock. I still remember, and I'll never forget, that first performance. We're at Baffin Street Theater. It was packed, sold out. We were so nervous. We started the play, and I'm right there behind the curtain listening to every step, word, reaction from the audience. And they seemed to enjoy it. They laughed where I hope they would laugh. They giggled where I hope they would giggle. But then at the end, there's this moment where, and I play the son in the play. The last moment is a picture of me with a price gun repricing a case of cans. And as soon as I started pricing, and that's how the play ends, and then the lights fade. The lights start to fade, and then I'm shocked. I'm surprised by a roar of applause, and the lights come up, and everyone's on their feet applauding this play, this story, and I feel like I'm in heaven because I look around and there's all these familiar faces. I went from dark, it was just dark,
yep.
And it went to light, and there's all these people that I know, and they're all applauding, and it was this great, great moment. So that's, I was in that kind of surprise, shock state for the whole run, pretty much. Like, I can't believe this is happening. This is a simple play. I'm so grateful for it, but I'm surprised that the critics loved it, and a lot of audience, you know, a very diverse group of audience loved the play and kind of said, when are you going to do it next? What's the future for this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just one step at a time. I got a performance tomorrow.
Well, what that is a good question. What is the future for Kim's Convenience? I mean, the Fringe is over. What's happening with it now?
Well, during the run, there were a bunch of theater companies in Toronto that approached me, well, the artistic directors. And so I had a sit-down with many of them. And it kind of became, they would offer me, you know, okay, this is what our company can offer. This or that, or you know, a co-pro or whatever. And so I just listened, and I was like, okay, yeah, great. And so I just met with a lot of people and just listened to, even producers came to me, and they came up with ideas, and they're like, well, what do you think about this and this and this? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. We'll see what happens. So once it closed, we met with, I can't really tell you in detail because we're still in negotiation, and I can't reveal the names, but there is a very positive future for Kim's Convenience.
Good.
On a bigger scale than the Fringe Festival in the near future.
And what are you doing in the meantime?
I'm working on plays. Kim's Convenience has been a great calling card for me as a writer. I mean, people, the theater scene in Toronto, they know me as an actor, but they don't know me as a writer. So Kim's Convenience was like a huge boom. Oh, it's Choice, he's on the scene now. So I'm working on a few pieces. One is a play that is actually a collective piece. Right now, it's called KJV, and it deals with the 400th anniversary of the King James Version
right. Of
the Bible. And me, Rebecca, and Rebecca Davey, and Chris Van Solen, they're all great theater makers, not only actors, but writers. So the three of us, with Tom Carson as a director, were embarking on creating this show that is at once a celebration of the Bible and the King James Version, and as well a look at, kind of a look at, a personal look at how the Bible has influenced us,
mm-hmm.
And a critical look at the issues surrounding the Bible and culture today.
And Tom Carson's been involved with the Fish Eyes project that he and Jason Hildebrand have been touring with.
Yeah.
So
2,000 Candles.
Yep. And so where can people find out more information and updates on what you're doing and what's happening with Kim's Convenience?
Kim'sConvenience.com. That's the website we created, and we'll still have news released from there. On Facebook, we have a Facebook page you can visit. That's it.
Great.
Convenience.com and on Facebook. But I'm sure people will hear it in the main media.
Yeah. Ince, thanks very much for your time today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Ince Choi. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.